Welcome to the Fullcaster Podcast and return of the FCP, finally here for Season 4. Not really doing an episode number for this one, as technically we already did episode 51 a little over a year ago when we recorded with Chase Jones at the third round of the Challenge of the Americas in 2023. That will be coming out this season, Derek, but this episode here is more like a catching up of things. We do plan on bringing the Chase episode out. When are we going to do that again?
3 months? 2 months? May, right?
No. Yes.
Yeah, May. Yeah, April, I kept thinking we're in February right now. Yeah.
We're not. Yeah. We're almost in April.
Yeah.
yeah, so May. Yeah, I think is what we're thinking. Yeah, so this thing's... Here we are, Derek. It's 2024 now. Like, it's...
Yeah.
When we did that recording with Chase, it was 23. It was...
It's almost like March, a full year ago.
Yeah, it's over a year since we did that one. And at the time, we were thinking, you know, maybe we can do some more. Evidently, we did not. We didn't even put that one out.
Right.
I actually just finished editing it, like a week ago. And that's because we're now finally into my house. Like, I finally moved. And that kind of goes hand in hand with everything that happened last year and all the changes and all the different things. I mean... Right, we had the Cow Speed Last Laps that we put out.
Yeah,
it was the last thing we did.
Right.
Then we recorded, what would the be like almost 3 months later, the Chase episode. And at the time, like I said, we thought that
maybe... We had a plan.
Yeah, we were hoping that we were going to do some, whether it be events or, you know, more recordings. But a lot of that was based on the fact that we kind of thought things were going to happen quicker, and they were.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got... You know, we talked a little bit about current events and what we did all of last year, which we already have a little bit of that in that Chase Jones episode.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to both, you're going to hear some of it again. But like, you are now an instructor. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what the position is. You're an instructor at was it PECLA?
Yeah. Yeah. So PECLA, Porsche Experience NLA. And I went from, you know, back when that Chase episode first started, I was just a part-time coach. And then about a month or two later, went into a full-time position. And yeah, so in January, I just hit a year of doing that. And then in, I think, April, I hit a year full-time.
Yeah, so you were splitting your time in the beginning.
Right.
It was it was a part-time deal at the Porsche Center, plus you were doing HRT from
right. Yeah, and that was the nice part, was still having freedom to choose and make my own schedule, right? And do some karting whenever I wanted to, because at the time it was... 3 days, if not more, at Porsche. And then the other few days I would spend with HRT, and I was either running the parts trailer or a few race weekends. I got to kind of test and tune the, last year, test and tune the new Tillotson motor.
Oh, that's right.
So I did a few races last year. But no, it got to a point where I'm like, all right, well, I can only make so much with Kyle, and not to his fault. Just that's how much the position pays, sure. Right? And I'm like, well.
Well, and also you had moved. Right.
Yeah.
So you were driving further at first. You were still living at where we used to live in Rancho.
So it was still in Rancho, and it was fairly close. And then when March hit.
Because it was at Apex.
Yeah. When March hit, I was then driving from. Yeah. Heather and I moved to Long Beach, and stuff was just. It was just taking me too far, and it wasn't equaling out to what was worth money. Right. Mm-hmm. So, no, it was good. I mean, I ended, you know, chat with Kyle, hey, man, sorry. Like, this is the direction I'm going to have to go and have this opportunity. And, took the full-time slot at Porsche, which was huge. And yeah, now been a year, been doing that. No complaints. It's weird saying that I haven't karted in a year.
Right.
You know?
Right. Because when was the last time you were in a kart? Doing that test into a Tillotson. Was it summertime?
I think it was round two of last year.
No way. Was it that far away?
Yeah. I think I did like the first two rounds or something like that.
Wow.
And I did like a test day with Kyle, and then everything else was a race weekend. But I think I had like 5 days in a cart last year.
Wow.
Compared to 5 days in a week in a cart.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for like the 7 or 8 years before that, whatever. So it's funny having all that seat time be changed now from a cart to a car.
Right.
And yeah, you never know where life's going to take you, you know?
For sure. For sure.
And that was, I mean, I kind of mentioned, but it was just, I had to outweigh money one versus the other. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was still kind of recovering essentially from 2 months of unemployment with CalSpeed.
Right.
You know, Rob still had work for, it was really Nathan and I there till the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob,
that was through January-ish?
Yeah, right? Just about. and he was paying us as he could because he's still trying to pay himself, right?
Right, right.
So Devlin took care of us, and but I'm like, all right, well, I really got to make up for not having a proper paycheck over the last few months. Mm-hmm. And it was flat out, Porsche paid more, but also I was like, there's probably opportunity here to grow into more. So let me put my eggs in one basket.
And when did you make the move from Rancho over to Long Beach, which for people who aren't in Southern California, it's about an hour difference.
Yeah. So it's about
in much closer to Porsche, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you and I were neighbors pretty much in Rancho, right? And it was 15 minutes to Calspeed. Mm-hmm. And then Rancho to Carson was about 65 miles or so. And that was, it could take 2 hours in the morning. Who knew?
No, with the traffic, yeah.
Yeah. But it was about an hour, 15, hour and a half or so in the morning. And then easily 2 hours home. And then Heather at the time, you know, she worked for the Speedway. So she was
your girlfriend.
Yeah. And they were downsizing, right? I mean, who knows where they're at now with no track. Mm-hmm. But she had already been looking for the next step too. So she landed a job doing events for the Anaheim Ducks or at the stadium per se, not really the team. But anyways, our lives are both taking us back out west.
Right.
And we're like, okay,
it makes sense for you to go that direction.
Yeah. So we moved to Long Beach and it's 20 minutes to her, 20 minutes for me. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much in the middle. And I remember the first day. Yeah, I think it was the first day of training. Like driving out to PEC wasn't bad. I'm like, okay, like it's morning, whatever. But after a day and you're driving home, I was like, I'm not doing this shit again.
Yeah. Like the long drive back to Rancho.
Cause the first 4 years I worked at Calspeed was Pedro to Fontana. Yeah. And that was almost 80 miles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was young and hungry at the time. I didn't really care. Some days would suck and whatever, but now I'm older. I'm like, no, I've been there, done that. Yep. You know, and you start to know what your time is worth and how much of it do you want to spend on the couch versus in the car.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm in a car all day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's by the end of it, it's 11 hours looking through a windshield and that gets old.
Sure.
So, no, it worked out. I think we moved out there in about March. And it just worked. I mean, it was perfect.
The timing is perfect for you guys.
Yeah. Because she just started. I had already been at Porsche for a few months. And, yeah, I moved to Long Beach and yeah, she's killing it with events for the company she works for at the Honda Center. And you know, I'm just keep trying to progress as a coach at the Experience Center.
So in the spring of last year, you have the life change move, if you will, the job full time, and you stopped doing the karting stuff so much at that point as well, right?
Yeah, I really just kind of put my head down. I'm like, just work, but work on what's going to make more money. Mm-hmm. Was really just financially driven at that point. I'm like, all right, well, I've had my fun. Let me just buckle down and do what I got to do.
So in the springtime, we went from in the span of about 4 months, 4 or 5 months, you went from every single day is karting.
Yeah.
To 0 days are karting.
Yeah.
What a huge, huge change.
It was a lifestyle change. I mean, we already kind of talked about it earlier in the Chase episode, or we're going to hear it in the Chase episode, but I was already looking at doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, the change was inevitable, not necessarily not being in karting at all.
Yeah.
That was kind of a different deal.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's a nice thing to have at arm's length. I mean, for all those years, we had it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? So, and past dinner when we get messages about a call or something,
right?
I'm like,
right.
Jesus Christ, you know? But, it's cool to go back and enjoy it for what it is. You know, it's still an obsession. I still love racing, still love coaching, but to not be married to it is nice.
Yeah.
You know, and just enjoy it when I want to and be a spectator. Like I still keep up with Kart Chaser. I still keep up with changes in the industry and stuff. So I'm still
love karting.
Yeah, for sure.
But you maybe can enjoy it more as like at the end of the day, it sounds like you kind of got burnt out a little bit.
100%. Yeah. And it sucks to say that because it was all the, you know, even.
But you even were working still after Calspeed. You even did, again, it's in the Chase episode, but you were, did it there at Challenge.
Yeah,
you were the flagger.
Was flagging for Andy, yeah.
But it ended up not going the right way for you to stay in that kind of program. It was, you know.
And it's like, it was nothing Andy did. I mean, the series is great. Those are all my friends that, you know, it's Cal Speed 2.0 on the road, essentially, you know. But I was there. I'm like, I'd rather be at home. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go to work at Porsche and drive 10 minutes and be in my own bed tonight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like I graduated from doing some of that track work. And mm-hmm. if I was going to go to the track, it was going to be for more money and for reasons if I was working mm-hmm. or just for reasons I wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And
like maybe behind the wheel, enjoying the racing stuff or whatever.
And it was perfect. I mean, Andy pays well, takes care of me. It's a great environment. And it was the right time to have that extra income.
Yeah.
But it was right at the time. I'm like, no, let me do one thing and make it easy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And haven't looked back.
That's definitely the way you,
but so springtime rolls and big change for you. And mm-hmm. since then, karting has basically not been a thing.
Right.
Ironically, while I'm still very much in karting, I also have done virtually no karting.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, for anybody who's paying attention on the internets, you know, when we did the Chase episode, at the time, the way things were lining up, it seemed like we were going to be able to get, we being K1 Circuit, was going to be able to to open up. I guess the quick and dirty of it is, Cal Speed closes. I got an offer to become the general manager at K1 Circuit. Mm-hmm. Took that offer, and since then, we've just been doing construction. We've been stuck basically in the county permit process and different things for the fire suppression. Things have happened there. We've been doing a lot of work, getting a lot of stuff done, but we haven't had an actual timeline that we could open up. When we did the recording, it seemed like at the time that there was a late spring to summer was...
You saw a light at the end of the tunnel.
It seemed that way. And then that fire suppression stuff happened after. So that's why, you know, at the time of doing the recording, like, so we should probably be pretty good. Also at that same time, because we had just started the process for this house, again, the new, quote, studio here for FCP is my office, the...
pretty close to K1, right?
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's not bad.
We're... You know, as a
podcast. You might even bike to work.
No. I will absolutely drive those 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's hard on your car. I don't care.
Yeah. That's what it's there for.
Anybody knows me. It's like physical work. No. I have to be, I can be walking.
Yeah.
But anyway, close here. And so, we should hopefully make it easier for guests to you know, kind of like Cal Speed. You're already there at the track or whatever. The quote studio is not
convenient to get to this place.
Yeah, for sure. it should be there, and you know, we can enjoy ourselves and have a good time. So,
well, and that's been the big thing holding us up, right? We didn't have a place to put all this crap.
Yeah, and that recording, like again, I was just saying the house thing started in February, the whole process, mm-hmm. and at the time they were saying, we should be able to, you know, get you moved in or whatever. Except, you know, I think it was Labor Day weekend, roughly.
Yeah.
I moved in at the very end of January.
Yeah.
Yes, this January.
Close to Labor Day.
So almost a full year that process took. So again, at the time, it sounded like, hey, maybe there was an opportunity to do more things, to be closer. The track was going to open. My house is going to get done. All sorts of kinds of crap, right? None of that happened.
Right, right.
And I actually haven't been in a cart but for 1 week. When we were testing some of the electric carts at K1, and that was in the middle of the summer.
Did you feel pretty sharp jumping back in?
Obviously,
new track and cart, those are variables no matter who you are, but still.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't really feel like you'll lose it.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, like, it's not like, so there was one of the guys there, his name is Marco Fauci, who's actually one of the guys that is like, the spearhead behind the cart, like the battery system and the controller and things like that, as I understand it. And he's a carter and mm-hmm. actually does Formula cars and things like that. Well, he was there and he's like a, you know, buck 40, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he's European.
Yeah. and well, he's Italian. Yes.
There you
go.
And
he's got the Italian physique.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Meaning in shape. but with him and I, so obviously we're vastly different in weight.
Yeah.
But we were pretty close on track, and that had more to do with, you know, the electric and the torque and things like that. But he was really the person that I could measure against, because all the other people that were there, just they weren't drivers of carts. Mm-hmm. So I think to say that are you sharp or whatever is more about who can I compare to. I felt good.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe if I was out there with a bunch of people do it all the time, I'd have been like,
I'm
not as sharp as I thought.
Yeah, if you jump out there with Blake Nash, it's going to be a different story, right?
Well, I would never do that anyway. Yeah. Matt Johnson, on the other hand? No, I still wouldn't do it. No, it's a, to that point though, just haven't been in karting still, right? My job is still in karting 100%. Yeah. And once that thing gets open, I feel like I'll be back in the industry, if you will.
Yeah. Right. But right. It's like, you're just on the outskirts, you know? And we just talked about this recently. What was funny, and this might sound selfish, right? We definitely talked about this, but it was weird to see the industry still go when we weren't in it after how ingrained we were.
Right.
You know, and we were such a big hub of SoCal karting, especially West Coast karting for that matter, like of being at Cal Speed and
not like, be a part of it on a regular basis. Yeah. Or as you say, being the hub, like, you know, karting is the industry. Cal Speed was a piece. Yeah. We are a piece.
Yeah.
Not the integral. Just
was so weird. Like, all right, yeah, it's going to keep going. Mm-hmm. But it was, that's going to be interesting in a, you know, a future episode. I don't want to say yet, but how stuff has continued to go on without Cal Speed there. Because it's hosted two clubs, a few different series have come through, you know, regional stuff. And also the Arrive and Drive programs. How those have all splintered to other facilities and had to adapt to this thing not being here.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a hole that was left in the industry. And, you know, Tri-City had to keep going. LAKC did a little bit, but they kind of hit pause. I'm not sure what the deal is yet.
See what happens.
You know, obviously, Supercarts USA with Pro Kart Challenge still rolling. Actually, I think they're racing this weekend or something like that over at Buttonwillow. But... Yeah, like you said, the fact that the racing, you know, goes on. We must go on.
Yeah.
And well, without us, whether we like it or not.
Another small violin story. You know?
But no, it's so now we've you know that my house is done here, so now we actually have a place to record. Hence this whole thing getting rolling again, and you know we loved doing the podcast. The podcast was one of the really cool hobbies that you and I had. Again, still karting.
It was a fun extension though of.
But you got to learn
what we got to do
about these people that you know you had no idea. We would see people all the time, right? But you don't really get to know them as much as when you get a chance to have a little heart to heart.
Well, it's always great, you know. We just took the bench racing that would happen after for an hour or two of a race weekend and made it an episode,
right?
And no, that was great. I mean, you know, one of the times that comes back to my mind was, oh, it was the day we did the it was the weekend we did the summer shootout. And we hung out with Seth and the family at his trailer.
That's right.
And I don't know, I said bench racing, that was the first thing that came back to mind, but no, that was like just one small example. I think after that we got him on the show and it was kind of, we bridged that gap to, you know, get closer with him. But
those probably are the things that I miss the most about not being as ingrained or not having a Cal Speed or whatever is certainly the bench racing, the camaraderie, the community, the family aspect of all that for sure.
I think that's the biggest thing that would, you know, saying this all out loud, that would make me want to come back and really put effort into something is, you know, I raced with HRT and Kyle's a good buddy of mine and a close friend, right? So like, if I'm going to do it, I want to make sure I can actually hang out with these people and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we would definitely try to hang out with people we enjoyed being around at the end of the day, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
And also if they had beer, that helped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, and the nice thing is you don't have to go all the way home. You can stay here at the house.
That's true. Yeah, I got plenty of those models.
I have some of those, actually. I might have a model right now. It's definitely one of those things where it's a huge life change. It's one of those, we were ingrained in it. We did it all the time. We haven't done much of anything. Now, I actually just this last weekend was the announcer for Tri-City. Filled in for Chappie, and actually was at the season opener. I did it with Chappie.
This last one you did on your own then?
Yeah. Oh, Chappie wasn't there. So in last year, we're talking about like still kind of doing some stuff. I was the announcer for the NorCal series that Donald Durbin put on, and then I actually filled in for Kart Chasers coverage over at USPKS once. And of course,
was that Texas?
Yeah. Yeah. As Speed Sports.
That must have been cool.
It was very cool. Yeah. And then of course, Super Nats with the whole Kart Chaser group got a chance to, of course, work with Rob Howden, Xander Clements.
That's probably one thing to try to hold on to every year.
Oh my
year.
Gosh.
It's just, you know, if there was one thing to keep doing, it'd be that.
I love it.
That's gotta be so much fun.
Yeah. The Super Nats and getting a chance to be a part of that phenomenal crew. You know, of course, Rob Howden with the eCarting News and then Kart Chasers, Xander Clements and all those guys, Trevor Blue and everybody. But, that part's huge. And then Henry Baudet actually was also part of the crew as far as the commentary team. And they just have done such a great job of expanding the coverage and kind of bringing it next level.
It's been insane.
It's super, super cool to be a part of. And as long as they'll have me, I will absolutely try to make sure that's a thing. To your point, if I only get to do one other extracurricular thing in karting, that would be it.
Yeah.
And if that's what prevents me from ever racing again in Super Nats, then okay.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the you know, things that
there's
away.
There's enough of us, though, that maybe I can do a little bit of both.
Yeah,
Rob, fair. Howden did it.
Yeah.
Maybe we could trade off.
Right? You got it, David.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think that's one of the cool things, too, is, like, you still, no one's trying to, at least not us, like, we're not trying to latch on. If we're going to be there, it's because we're still at least there. Mm-hmm. And that's the fun part, is to still go at least watch karting, because it's racing, right? Mm-hmm. We still like watching racing.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if Super Nats isn't one of the best races to watch.
Absolutely.
But just to go be a part of it is still fun, whether it's a big scale or a small scale. And that's the one thing I took away is, whether you're racing or not, you're still a carter, you know?
Yeah. No, it's definitely one of those things that you either fall in love with it or it's just something that you do. And I can definitely say that we're in the former part.
Yeah.
Even though not being behind the wheel a whole lot last year, I know that as soon as I get a chance to do it again on a regular basis, I'm going to be getting right back in behind the wheel.
That's why I'm a little scared to put the helmet back on. It's like, I'm going to get sucked in again. Yeah, dude. You know?
You talk about putting the helmet back on. I think... the last time I did it was for... Actually, I got a chance to do those test laps at Super Nats. Oh, that was a...
That's right.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That was so freaking fun.
the pressure on that one, man. Man. I don't know if I'd want that.
I had... nobody actually cares. Like, look at this idiot.
No.
He's out there track dusting.
No. As far as like... just not crashing. It's a dirty, dirty ass track that you're on.
Yeah, it was grippier than I thought. When I did time over at... was it Rio? The year before?
It was Rio. Yeah.
It was sketch over there, but... shout out to Seth Nash and Nash Motorsports. They supplied the cart and all that kinds of stuff.
And was last year Greg's cart that you drove?
No. 2 years ago was Greg's cart at Rio. Greg Welch from Ford Direction. Last year was Seth Nash and Nash Motorsports.
I'm sure they used that data all weekend.
Yeah. It's funny. The first thing that happens, you come off course and people start asking about the gear. Hey, what gear do you think you need? Well, I ran these RPMs, so... There you go.
Yeah, with it what you
figure it out, because it's all going to be junk information anyway after freaking tomorrow. But yeah, that's the last time I put a helmet on. And it's been friggin' packed away for a while. It's actually still packed away. I can't even get to it right now if I needed to. And I think that's the thing that I do miss the most. I mean, getting a chance to put the helmet on and throw the visor down. Even when I was testing the electric carts. You know, and I just smile. I remember having all my stuff and the day before going, I get a chance to go drive a kart again. And the previous, like it had been Machismo 22.
That's right.
Was the last time I had done any driving. And then it wasn't until I did those test laps in whatever it was, June, July, end of July. And then I didn't do it again until 10, 15 laps or however many it was at Super Nats, and I could have kept going all day.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come in. And I haven't been in the seat since Super Nats. So I've done, after being in karting nonstop and driving, as you said earlier, like 5 days a week, all the time, I've done so little karting. I remember, going back to what I was saying about the testing, I was so... Like, I couldn't get the smile off my face.
Yeah.
I'm like, I cannot wait to do this tomorrow. And then I got out there and just, it was awesome.
Well, it's funny. I'm like, the last time I had the helmet on was a bunch of us rented Grange.
Oh,
from
right.
Work. We all chipped in and rented
the drift stuff.
Yeah. And then they had like these 350Zs for rent for drifting. And we each did some laps in that. But, you know, I don't race anymore. I haven't raced. I've just been driving.
And driving cars,
not
carts. So it's all even different that way.
Ton of fun, but I'm like, when we jump on the sim after work, or like I've mentioned, we go to that sim place up in Pasadena. I'm like, and we race. I'm like, oh, I miss that.
Dude.
You know, I could give two shits about driving. I'd rather just race slow or fast. I don't care.
And I've talked to you about that, and we've said it multiple times on the show. Even it's like, there's drivers and there's racers, and sometimes you're both.
Yeah.
But I don't care about driving at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a car guy.
Right.
I don't, you know, going out and driving, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Chess. Yeah. I want to go play chess, and you have to have at least if one I other could, play, person to play chess.
If I could skip practice and quality, if Kyle would let me, I would.
I
would so start from the back every time, and I'd be fine with that. Yeah. That's just so much fun.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's probably that is absolutely the piece that I miss the most, mm-hmm. is going out there and just playing
chasing somebody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole process. I mean, you just talk about the last time put the helmet on and you're driving, you know, cars all the time now, mm-hmm. And then doing the drift thing. How different is it? You know, we talked about, you know, I think you said at the very beginning of the chase episode deal, it's like, not the game, spoiler alert, but
right,
it's just at first you're like, nah, I don't really want to do Porsche or whatever. I don't think I'll do that kind of thing. And then you end up doing, that's what you do. Now you're just in cars all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How different was it? And how different is it going from the carts to the cars, and how big of a transition was it? And did you find your experience in the carts actually help you that much?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this on the way over here. Like, karting is the grassroots of motorsports, but I think we also forget it's the fundamentals, mm-hmm. of just how to drive anything, right? So you can definitely get anything and get around a track if you're competent. But there is polish that I had to freaking work on a mm-hmm. ton, you know? I think the funny thing that wrap my head around was how a 100cc or a tag driver might jump in a car versus how me from four strokes and momentum stuff might attack a car differently. And just finesse with pedals. You know, there's definitely a little bit less finesse in a four-stroke car, yeah, right?
For sure.
But it's definitely had the right idea of how to go about stuff, but I couldn't translate to my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, you and I have had this conversation plenty of times. You're more of a natural. I'm more of a learned driver, and I had to, you know, study it, where you kind of just did it and then figured it out after on paper or whatever. But this was the driving there was definitely, all right, let me go do 10 laps or whatever and just absorb it for the night and come back and figure it out the next day, I guess. But
yeah, because you actually had to go through testing of each like different car and stuff like that at that place, right?
Yeah. So I did 5 days of training, and the training process has changed a lot over the 7 years. And when I was doing it, like, hey, there's 5 days of training. Once we get past 5 days, we start to reconsider, but we'll give you about seven.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I did it in 5 days, but...
now they're reconsidering.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Has nothing to do with your driving.
How do we get this? How do we get this guy out of here? I'm just making fun of everybody all the time. But no, it was training. It's more than just driving, right? You're a coach. You're not 5% of the job, if that, is driving. They want you to be able to drive to demonstrate and to show competent how you can do this maneuver or this technique or whatever, but also do it the Porsche way. There's certain things they like you to do behind the wheel and how to handle the car. So, you know, I had 2% of car stuff in my karting career, mm-hmm. you know, in my racing career. It was an oval thing I did for a second. And it was vehicle dynamics, weight transfer, loading, suspension, all that stuff was crash coursed in 5 days.
Right.
And then since then, I've just kind of figured it out more and more. And a lot of that has been through bench racing in the break room and just hearing other coaches talking, and but also just driving and just feeling stuff happen more.
But your point, like the driving aspect being so small as far as what you do, and the customer service or the coaching aspect, sounds like you actually grabbed a bunch from your time in karting, because so much of it has to do with that aspect.
Yeah. Now, I think as far as the, you know, back to the original question, the driving, you can definitely get in and have the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is polishing. For me, how I release the brake and slowing down my hands a little bit, stuff like that. But no, the coaching just transferred naturally. That was mm-hmm. really no problem. And, you know, what was funny was when they, well before my time, right? But during COVID, when they were open, before that, everything was in car. The tracks, the handling circuit stuff, you're in car, all the modules.
Side seat.
Yeah, side seat. And
what was it?
Side seat. At least my voice didn't get high. It went deeper, right? That's better.
That's how you feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, a little tear goes by. But during COVID, when everyone had to be apart and stuff, they adapted a lead follow program where the coach is in their own car and they can do that on the handling circuit. So that was part of the testing too, is get you comfortable with being in side seat on the track or lead follow. And the lead follow stuff was natural because that's all we did at Cal Seed, right? Right. And vice
versa.
Funny
thing about carts with a single seat and all.
Yeah. But getting my head wrapped around and getting the comfort level in the side seat for anything was tough.
Yeah.
But the reality is no one wants to crash.
Yeah.
You know, so they might hit the brakes late, but they're going to hit the brakes.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't. You got to be ready for it. But no, I mean, the job is coaching. And more than that, it's customer service, right? You know, kind of the trifecta I've come up with for every session is just keep them safe, make sure they have fun, and make sure they learn. Mm-hmm. You know, because some people go in there, don't really care about learning. And it's like, all right, let's just make sure you have fun and guide you around. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where they want to learn. And then the other end of the spectrum where they think they know it all.
Yeah.
And which is a little bit tougher.
Just keep them
right?
safe.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, how far can the leash go with me still staying in my rule set and blah, blah, blah. But all the years of karting and coaching at Cal Speed, because I did a little bit of advanced stuff, but most of it was the beginner stuff and just the average guy or person or girl that wanted to come out and drive a go-kart. So basic fundamentals, just go drive the track, right? Like we used to say, and it's funny how much of that is coming to working at Porsche. And, you know, we have this autocross lot and I'm like, all right, you know, and the more I've gotten better at the job, I don't go show them. I'm like, just go drive it. You know, I'm like, you just need to go do it. And then we can kind of talk about it after.
Yep.
And the first,
kind of like the very first session we do at Cal Speed.
Yeah. I'm like,
go ahead. I'll watch.
And, you know, they'll be like, well, aren't you going to tell me what to do? I'm like, I am. Go drive it. You know? And I'm like, you might be really good, but I don't want to say too much or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's...
That's funny. It's exactly how, like, you know, we would run things at Cal Speed.
Yeah.
The very first session is about me figuring out who you are as a driver.
Yeah.
You know, I could have, you know, the new Senna here. Otherwise, right. It might just be Joe Blow who needs to maybe not do karting. Who knows?
No, man. And it's tough. It is the ultimate job where you have to be fluid. I mean, we coach up to three people a day and they're 90 minute sessions and each car can be different. I could have three cars the same. It doesn't matter because we have all the different models, right? But you're molding to personality, temperament, which are different at that point when you're strapped in a car with them, right? And also the way they can learn, you know, and also their bandwidth, how much they can learn.
Right.
So you're trying to manage all these different things. And there's one of the analogies I think is funny that my, one of my good buddies, Joey, uses, and he's one of the original hires. It's been there since it's open. He's my age. So he was a kid when he started, but he goes, for the most part, you're trying to date this guy's daughter. You're trying to get him to like you. So that's how you go about the session. You're trying to keep them on your side, you know? And if you can do that, they're going to end up having fun. But you're trying to get creative and have a lot of tools in the box of how you can go about explaining stuff. But because you can have status quo. 80% of the time that works. The other 20%,
yeah,
you have to completely change it up and say more, say less.
Yeah.
It's a tricky job. It's great.
It was kind of funny that at Cal Speed there, when you were doing coaching and stuff, a lot of the new people would go through you. And then one of the things that we changed, because you were getting really, really tired of only having new people, is I took over the non-advanced
in the clinic.
Yeah. Just to give you a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Which actually turned out to be, I think, a headache for you.
It was worse. Yeah.
But now you get all the guys
that think they're so much better than you in the advanced clinic. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah. They're just using it as race practice.
Yeah.
But now you almost have purely not advanced.
I know. I've thought about that a ton. Trust me. But you know what's funny is a lot of coaches come from other backgrounds like me. As far as motorsports and stuff, a lot of coaches don't, where that's like they're younger and that's their first job, you know? So perspective on motorsports and coaching especially, but that's the nicest thing about this is there's no performance review or there's no goal, you know? like coaching Chris Fox, right, for the sprint series and then eventually super stuff, like he wanted to go get podiums and I put in a lot of effort. And so did you at some point, right? When you start coaching both of us is how to help this guy progress. And this thing, it's the goal of the experience center is to promote the car and sell the car.
Yeah.
And it's an experience. So however much I can give you in 90 minutes is hopefully enough, but
yeah,
you're not trying to go win a championship or yeah, anything, you know. It's
yeah. And if they don't buy the car, they don't buy the car.
Yeah.
It was their choice to come out here and check it out.
You know, and sometimes it wasn't, which is interesting. Like a third of, you know, if I could break in the clientele into thirds, a birthday gift or Christmas, something fun. Mm-hmm. The other third is they want to buy a car, so that's their test drive. Mm-hmm. Or the other third is they bought a car and don't know what the hell they bought. So they're trying to come and learn more about the product.
Exactly like karting.
Yeah.
Either someone exactly got you into it, whether you like it or not, yeah, or they already got one and they need to learn how to use it, or they're thinking about getting into it.
And it's, you know, it's so funny. The small percentage of people, as a coach, you, like I said, you're trying to learn temperament and stuff, right? So you go meet your guests before the session and you're trying to figure out why they're here, who they are, temperament, all that stuff. Cause that's going to help you build the session out in your head for them. And sometimes people say, yeah, I got dragged here and it's for work or yeah, it's a girlfriend of someone that the boyfriend bought it for both of them. And it's like, you know, let's just go drive around then or whatever. Yeah. Or sometimes I'll mess around with them. Cause no matter who it is, ego, you know, type A personality or whatever, everyone is nervous.
Yeah.
100% of them are nervous. And, you know, some people show nerves differently than others, right? People are like, hey, I'm nervous. I'm like, this is the best place to do it. Or others are put on the type A.
Yeah.
And they'll be a little bit quiet. I'm like, well, you seem like you're stoked to be here in a car with me for 90 minutes. I can't wait. And I'll kind of poke at him for a second. Yeah,
lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, it loosens him up. But it is it's just customer service. And it just happens to be in a car.
Yeah.
But it's really cool seeing how much stuff I've been able to take from literally all my experience at CalSpeed, racing and not just driving, operational stuff like that, and learning how to mold with different people. But also, it's funny, you know, sometimes I'll catch myself saying lines from karting, you know, and just, you know, the coaching and stuff we did. It's a ton of fun.
Well, it's pretty damn cool that even though you've transitioned, like we talked about earlier, like kind of out of karting for the most part, right? I haven't even been to a track in a little bit.
Yeah.
To actually utilizing karting in your regular job every single day.
Right.
And I guess kind of putting a circling back on this episode, the whole point of this thing was to kind of go, hey, everybody, we're still around. And not only that, we do want to get things rolling again.
Yeah.
And to kind of catch people up, like what has been going on for the last year, right? Mm-hmm. You obviously have gone all in on this other program, which turns out to be just an extension of what you were already doing essentially on a day to day. I mean, maybe not the events aspect of the racing events, but the coaching and things like that. You always did at CalSpeed anyway, just now in a car. You know, and on my side, got a new studio house program, trying to figure out how that whole thing. And
definitely some big stuff has happened for us after CalSpeed closing.
Yeah. We'll start a little side podcast about DIYs and
house make sure you don't show your work. Don't do it yourself is what it's going to be called.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a DIY.
Yeah. Drunk driving in your. Oh,
no. Because I'm not into it. But what I'm so stoked about for this year is that now we have an opportunity. Like, got the equipment out of the box. This is so nostalgic, too. It's been a year since stuff been out of the box, kind of setting it up again for the first time in a year. And stuff.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get guests out here. And, you know, it'll be a lot easier for people to come do that if they're out here at K1 Circuit. Again, this place is only 5 minutes from there. My house is only 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we'll get a chance to hopefully get people over here, have a good old time. And unfortunately, I don't have a timeline on when that's going to happen.
Just got to see how it goes.
But I do think it's going to be, here summertime or so. I hope
this before.
fun take. This is a fun show to do. I'm hopefully people got a chance to regardless of how much they skipped ahead on this episode, just to, okay, cool, you guys still around? A click.
Yeah, yeah.
But right. We're going to have guests. We already did the one recording with Chase. The plan for us here is to try to get these out. We'll start with this one. This one's going to come out in April. We'll get one. We'll get the Chase Jones one out in May. We've got some other stuff lined up. We're going to get things rolling. But probably a truncated season, maybe only like five or so episodes. Yeah. They're used to doing them once a month. And because, you know, once the circuit opens, people are going to have more of a reason to be coming out here to Winchester.
Right.
So I think at that point, it'll be easier for us to get guests and things like that. So we'll kind of fire things up. We'll do a little half season, hopefully this year. We still don't know all the guests. We're still trying to line things up. But if you're listening and you enjoy the show, you like the Fullcaster podcast and what we do, shoot us a message. Let us know that you listen. You're stoked that we're back. And maybe ideas on guests. Maybe you want to be on the show or whatever. Hit us up and we can try to make something happen and see where things line up. And I'm just, thanks for driving all the way out here, by the way.
Yeah, no worries. Nice way to catch up and finally get this thing rolling. But yeah, it's just been tough, you know. I mean, our lives got uprooted and went from literally like next door neighbors to, you know, 80 miles apart or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we really had to kind of just get our lives settled down before we can get the side project going again. And now that it was really kind of revolving around the house and the track.
Yeah.
I mean, once we had a place and people, a reason for people to get out here, was going to make it easier to have the show.
Yeah. Now we got half of that. So
we can at least do this one. Maybe we just do the show with just us.
I think we will have nobody listening. Kind of like
Kyle might in the background of the show.
It'd be like the old Cal Speed Live days. We're like, three people.
Yeah.
That was another fun thing too.
That was cool.
I'll tell you what, man. It's been fun kind of going back and forth, especially with knowing that we've already got an episode that's going to be coming out in April again, Chase Jones. You know, usually it's a surprise who's coming up next, but obviously we did that one so long
ago. Special circumstance right now.
Hopefully we can get maybe a little chat with him or something like that, get a couple of updates. But episode 51 with Chase Jones is going to come out in May. This thing here is going to get out there. If you're listening to it, then it's already out and it's April something. Yeah. We'll find out when we actually put this thing out.
Yeah. And we're recording this on March 18th.
Yeah. So
pretty soon.
Pretty damn soon.
But and you know, if anyone's kind of messaged any of the Fullcaster social medias, that's me. We haven't had any reason to open or anything. So once we start posting stuff, I'll get kind of caught up and engage with everyone. But all of it's been shelved until now.
Until now. We're back, baby.
Yeah.
Well, for Dirk, or I should say Derek Escobel, I'm Mike Smith. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us at the FCP here for a little bit, getting a little catch up. Season 4 underway here shortly. Thanks for tagging along.